You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Next up, we're going to hear another episode from the intersection at Burning Man. Bay Area artists and iconoclasts started Burning Man as an alternative to what they saw as a commercialized, commodified, cookie-cutter world. Now, 80,000 people head to a remote patch of desert every year to build a temporary utopia. The event has always been pagan at its core, with a reputation for lots of sex and drug use. So why do some devout Christians go, and what do they do when they get there? In this episode, KALW's managing editor David Boyer explores where Jesus meets the man.
My first Burning Man was 1996. I had moved to San Francisco a few years earlier to come out and get as far away from my suburban roots as possible. I was beginning the process of shedding a more conventional skin, and Burning Man was the perfect place to finish the job. That year, the theme was the Inferno, which inspired a lot of diabolical art and performances. Co-founder Larry Harvey described the result as a rendering of hell in our postmodern age.
We at Hellco, we want to thank all of you for coming up and trading your souls into Hellco and really putting us over the top of the Fortune 500 race. And we owe it all to the man of the hour, the man of the century, the man of the millennium. Let's give it up for Satan himself.
I sold my soul to this cartoon version of Satan, and in return, he gave me a bright red lollipop. It makes sense that some religious leaders, especially in the fundamentalist and evangelical communities, saw the event as a tool of Satan. Some still do.
And the Burning Man is like hedonism times 33. And it is so satanic. It is just, it's nothing but drugs, sex, sodomy. I mean, it is pure wickedness.
People commit suicide here. People sacrifice themselves here. They have orgies. Only thing they haven't done is like brought in animals and had sex with animals yet, but I'm sure there'll be a tent for that soon.
There are biting, stinging, and gnawing insects all over that place. They are covering people's bodies. Where those insects come from, they're only in the area of the Burning Man. They came from the hand of God.
So it may seem a bit curious that over the last decade, Burning Man has attracted more and more participants of faith. Some come to find new followers for their traditional God.
We have the real answer. We're the ones who should be connecting to God to be able to guide their path back to the one who made them and loved them and died for them.
Others have been coming to figure out why so many young people have turned their back on Christianity.
That's why Burning Man is so powerful. We come here and we learn what it is that they longed for that they didn't get from church.
A Jewish camp hosts a Shabbat dinner for hundreds every year. There's even a Christian Science camp with a reading room and a popular foot washing service. And then there's Episcopal priest Brian Baker, who you heard bless me at the beginning. He came to his first Burning Man in 2015 with a more personal mission.
My 22-year-old, dreadlock tattooed hippie, I'm more of a Buddhist daughter, came into two tickets, and she invited me to go with her. One of the reasons she asked me was that we had a troubled past, and it was a bid on her part to reconnect, which was an offer I couldn't refuse, of course.
Before he hopped on his motorcycle and biked to the desert, yes, he's that kind of priest, Brian acquainted himself with Burning Man's so-called 10 principles.
Radical inclusion.
Radical self-expression.
Decommodification.
The principles were written by co-founder Larry Harvey nearly 20 years after the event began.
Immediacy.
Leaving no trace.
Radical self-reliance.
They were crafted not to dictate how people should be or act, but to reflect the culture that had already developed.
Civic responsibility.
Participation.
Communal effort.
And to guide the future of the event and community. One principle that stuck out for Brian was
gifting,
the act of sharing something freely with strangers without expecting anything in return.
What I ended up with was a blessing. I would just go up to random strangers, not wearing a collar, and say, "Can I bless you?" And when I would first say, "Can I bless you?" you have no idea, right? if the blessing is going to be something spiritual or it's going to be a spanking or something. And so it was when I would put my arms, hands on their shoulders, look in their eyes and say, the world now is too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. Then the whole countenance changed, and like the heart opened and they were ready for something. And by the end of it, people would just fall in my arms and sob and sob and sob.
Brian says that first trip to Burning Man changed his spiritual life.
I had a conversion experience.
He recounted that experience in a sermon to his congregation at Trinity Cathedral in Sacramento.
So Jesus goes into a foreign land, and he encounters a stranger. This is a challenging gospel reading that I'm not going to talk about today. Because I returned last night from Burning Man.
He went on to describe the event to a group of people who, for the most part, had never been.
I got to be in this place of radical inclusion and welcome and giving and receiving and caring. When you arrive at Burning Man, everyone says to you, welcome home. And everybody is welcome, regardless of what you're wearing or what you're not wearing. In this community, I know my neighbors better in 3 days than I know my neighbors at home. Welcome home to a place where your heart can be open, where your love can change everything. Welcome home. Amen.
That evening, as the church did every Sunday, they uploaded a video of Brian's sermon to Vimeo. But this time, instead of getting a few dozen views, it went viral.
Within 2 months, probably like 25,000 people had seen it. And I started getting emails from all over the world and other Episcopal clergy who go to Burning Man, who never would have connected with one another, all contacted me because they saw the sermon.
The next year, a group of those folks came together and planned a pop-up service at the temple, which is arguably the spiritual center of Burning Man.
We had 5 people after that service come up to us and say, are you doing this every day? Never after a Mass on Sunday morning have I had parishioners come up to me and say, that was so amazing, are you doing this again tomorrow? And what I realized was there are so many people here that have unfinished business with Jesus, or have wounds from the church, or are hungry and yearning, and they want to have sort of the deep conversations about God and life and the Spirit and all of that. So that's when I knew a camp would be really helpful.
And that became his mission, to organize a theme camp for Christians of all denominations and stripes that's intentionally guided by the principles of Burning Man. His vision was made manifest in 2018. The camp's name was inspired by interactions he had with burners as he wandered through the desert those first years.
When someone would say to me, I'm spiritual but not religious, I would say, well, I'm religious as f***, just to provide a different perspective to that conversation. And it's been a perfect name because it lets people know we're religious, but we're not religious in the way that you're afraid of because we say f***.
A week after I arrive on the playa, I head to Brian's camp. It's not yet 10 a.m., but there's plenty going on in Black Rock City. I bike through center camp and pass folks lined up to buy ice. I pass the dusty pineapple, dusty frogs, and the dusty taint bar. It takes a bit of looking around to find religious as f***, especially because, at first glance, theirs looks like a typical theme camp with a hodgepodge of shade structures, tents, camping chairs, and a geodesic dome. Then I spot it. A big, hand-painted banner that says religious as f***, and a sandwich board that reads, may I bless you.
Yes, hello. Imagine you're here for Brian.
I am. Well, I'm here for
church. Anybody, for church.
The guy that greets me is dressed for service in a priest collar, cut-off khakis, and a sparkly rainbow cape.
Are we missing prayer?
It's probably about now.
We head to the geodesic dome. Inside, it's light and airy and pretty quiet. A group of about 15 have already gathered. They're sitting cross-legged in a circle on soft pastel-colored blankets.
So as we settle into this space, which is both soft and hard and colorful and blank, I invite you to just open your hearts and minds to the presence of God.
This morning's service is being led by Pastor Patty Jenkins. We're all following along in blue softcover Black Rock prayer books, which Patty and Brian helped write.
We had a group of people who wrote the prayers and specifically for Burning Man and Black Rock City and religious as f***. Last year, there was a lot of people getting pulled over by the cops heading into Burning Man. So I wrote a Burning Man travel prayer. That's in there, and there are others of those kinds of things. But yeah, we have a real legit prayer book.
So we are on page 13. We'll begin today with our Thursday opening sentence from Henry Nouwen.
They read a quote or passage inspired by Burning Man's 10 principles at the start of each morning service. Today, they pay tribute to communal effort and participation.
We make many attempts to establish the outer world as a safe haven, instead of finding a safe haven within and bringing that to the outer world. I'm going to just read it again.
The camp makes a conscious effort to go light on the Jesus and the fire and brimstone.
This is an expression of Christianity that honors people's faith from all traditions. We're also very careful knowing the way the church has wounded people. So we have religious symbols, but we're not using the ones that are most triggering for people.
But ultimately, it is a camp of Christians. Next to a massive rainbow flag hangs a tapestry of Jesus, and he's embedded in their prayers.
Christ has risen and brought light to the people, the people Christ has redeemed with resurrection light.
Hallelujah.
I think Jesus would have been a burner.
That's Annie Dunlop, one of the camp's leaders. She's a practicing Catholic and a longtime burner who's helped run big camps out here before.
People ask me a lot of times, you know, you smoke pot. What would Jesus say about that? I said he would probably not judge me on the fact that I smoke pot and ask me why before judging me. Actually, Jesus was a radical. He would have been one of these folks that wants people to think differently.
One of our taglines of our camp is where Jesus and the 10 principles meet. Last year, less so this year for some reason, but we got hecklers. They would ride by and say, you know, you're praying to a sky fairy.
Out in the default world, I can say, I help run a Burning Man theme camp. Oh, Burning Man theme camp. Then you get around other burners and it's a which theme camp do you run? Oh, it's a Christian theme camp. And all of a sudden you're ostracized. The ostracizing comes in forms of silence, maybe a redirected conversation, confession of a trauma, such as, I've been molested by a priest. You camp with them? How dare you? Wow, that's at Burning Man? Christians think they're going to come out here and do that? Is it evangelical?
We're not here to sell Jesus or sell the church. And, you know, people are wounded, and part of our role is to just bear the wounds. And to just non-reactively bear the wounds because they're certainly justified.
Was our closing blessing. We invite you to turn to someone near you and face each other and to offer each other this blessing.
A woman with long blonde hair turns to me with sympathetic eyes and an air of calm and openness.
Would you like to be blessed? Can I hold your hand?
Please.
Okay.
She has the Black Rock prayer book in her hand, but like most people in the dome, she knows this one by heart. This is the prayer Brian wrote as a gift to the Playa back in 2015. It's now part of every service and ceremony that the camp performs here.
The world is now too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. May your eyes be so blessed that you see God in everyone. May your ears be so blessed that you hear the cry of the poor.
When I first showed up in 1996, I was looking for a party. I was looking to push past my comfort zone and burn some shit down. While I miss the days of hedonistic anarchy, when Burning Man was an under-the-radar, anything-goes space for a few thousand people, there is something to be said for the variety of experiences that comes with 80,000 people and nearly 1,500 theme camps. Now, there's a farmer's market and a skate camp, Kidsville and a genital portrait studio. There's religious as f*** and the Church of Pizza. It's hard to admit, but I've become more interested in deep conversations with strangers than partying every night with friends. I'd rather have a lot of different experiences than the same one over and over. The young me, who sold his soul to Satan for a lollipop back in 96, probably would have scoffed at a camp of Christians at Burning Man. But these days, religious as f*** feels more radical than the orgy dome. And if the camp helps some people heal and forces others to question the dominant party paradigm, maybe, just maybe, it's the consummate expression of the event's countercultural roots.
You can hear the rest of that story and catch up on the entire season of The Intersection at Burning Man. Go to theintersection.fm or subscribe on your podcast player.